So in order to plan out each and every episode of Renegades and Mavericks, listen back to the interviews, transcribe everything that is said from both me as the host and our guests, we use this insane program called Otter.ai. And by the way, just to be clear, this episode is not sponsored by Otter.ai. We just really love their product. What Otter.ai does is use machine learning and artificial intelligence, transcribes any audio file to about 90% accuracy in my experience, can tell the difference between speakers' voices and labels it for you, and it remembers voices once it's in the system. And as new and exciting, and for some people incredibly scary, artificial intelligence is for the future of technology, it's rooted in one thing you learned since kindergarten: math. Every code and algorithm used to make Otter.ai and every single other application software on the planet all started from you learning your basic numbers, addition and subtraction back when you started elementary school and probably before. And for some of you, that experience was a breeze and you rocked math all the way through your K-12 experience and beyond, or you may have just been someone who struggled really hard with math from the beginning. We're going to focus on two stories from opposite ends of the math spectrum, showing how math has evolved, but also where math is today at the elementary level, but also used every day in artificial intelligence.
So as a student, I really struggled with math, and teachers only would explain it one way, and then they would explain it in a different tone of voice. And then I get frustrated and say, well, can you draw me a picture, or can you, show me in a different way? And I often got lost.
This is Chrissy Burr, and she's a first grade teacher in Vermont. And she swore she would never teach elementary school until she got to work with them. And lo and behold, she absolutely loves it. But one thing she struggled with growing up was math. She didn't find it easy, and she definitely had a lot to figure out. And fast forward to her teaching now, and the implementation of Common Core has been pivotal to the success of her students.
It's very catered to whatever that child would like to do to help reinforce any sort of skill. You know, I know as a kid, you know, math was kind of pushed off to the side. Like, you did it, the teacher just talked at you, and then you did it, and then they would mark up your paper, whether or not you got it wrong or right. And then they would reteach you in that same way. Whereas we're kind of detectives to try to figure out, okay, what do you need? Okay, what do you need? What do you need?
Reflecting back on how Chrissy learned math growing up to teaching her students now, I asked her what the biggest changes were.
Technology, getting technology involved. That's been a huge hindrance, but also a huge help. Kids, I find, are having a hard time with working memories. They don't have to know phone numbers. They don't have to know the birth dates. They don't have to know days of the week. They can just look at a phone. Everything's all right there. So that's been a struggle to work with. Just trying to, I'm trying to figure out how to better help them using the manipulatives. That's been a huge help. I know I didn't have that luxury, so they can actually visually see it. A lot of repetition they need versus like what we had, because we just, oh, we got to get through the book, whereas we can, you know, go at a slower pace.
The way we serve students now is where we should be going, working on application-based and teaching kids where they're at. But also, math isn't just living inside the math classroom.
Also, math is not a singular subject anymore, because when we were kids, it was math time is math time. But now we're seeing that through the STEM and the STEAM model for science, technology, arts, and all that, that we got to have application for these kids, especially getting them involved with their future. What's great is that we're also at my school, we were never offered this financial literacy standards, where they focus on savings, borrowing, spending, credit, debit, careers and salary. I mean, we were never told any of that. So that's been huge, that we're trying to get them thinking about what they want to do when they grow up.
As the classroom has evolved, so have the students. And what have been the biggest challenges that students have had in, but also bringing into the classroom?
Where do I start? It's been interesting. From the first year that I taught first grade to now has been a huge shift of we're struggling with kids coming in with not eating. They don't have any food. Luckily, you know, we have a program where we give them breakfast, lunch, and we also have snack opportunities for them. The drug epidemic has been huge. It's hit Bennington real hard. And we've got kids who are living with foster parents. We've got kids who are living with their grandparents, fortunately. You know, their parents are incarcerated or they have lost them to overdosing. These kids have so much baggage and trauma. But I feel like I am where I need to be because I can provide them the light of trying to break that cycle and that they can be anything. And when we talk about careers and like, I can be the president? Yes, you can. And this is how you're going to do it, by being, you know, here every day, being responsible and, you know, learning how to read, learning how to, you know, do math and how to be a good person, being kind. You can do that. And trying to give them that push that they really need. And the biggest thing that my school district provides me with is that I can stop my teaching and expose them to things, because one of the other biggest things that they are lacking is world experiences.
It's important to recognize that when a student does not do well in the classroom, it doesn't mean they're not smart. It just means they need to be taught a different way, and important for us to understand what's going on in their lives outside the classroom. Well, let's now focus on how we can take math and how it's used in the real world. How people can really just discover math and use it in ways we never thought about before.
Yeah, so I ask myself that all the time. So I've been a mathematician and a products guy for a long time. You know, I was the director of research at MySpace. I was a chief scientist at a database company. I had a digital health company that matched patients to clinical trials, so like cancer patients who needed new treatments.
This is Brian Dolan, and he is the founder of Verdant AI out in California, an artificial intelligence company. And originally, Brian wasn't really into math. He was into punk rock growing up, listened to NPR, and stumbled upon neuroscience and started to love that first. And by doing so, started to learn some more math and realized he really loved math. And well, here he is today with founding an artificial intelligence company.
So I've been building companies since about 2010 and investing in them and being invested in. And so when I left my last company, I wanted to have a little more freedom to kind of work on the stuff that's interesting to me. And so I opened up Verdant, and Verdant is a studio. The idea being we work with entrepreneurs or we work with ideas or corporations who have a product they want to see exist in the world. We're working with a company right now that is working with the assisted living community and trying to help them provide better care to assisted living, especially in a thing called memory care. So Verdant is there to work with this company, help them understand what their needs are, apply artificial intelligence to it, and hopefully offer new ideas, like sort of also be a creative design partner on what else they could do with this kind of data. So when I opened Verdant, that was the idea. I like building product. I like working with people. I like working with entrepreneurs, and I wanted to work with multiple of them.
I wanted to know from Brian, what have been some of the rewards he has seen from starting an artificial intelligence company?
Oh, absolutely. It's extremely rewarding. I mean, I remember the first time I was told that 12 teenagers were placed in a cardiac treatment trial, clinical trial, like these kids with heart conditions. They were finally getting like cutting edge care because of something I'd worked on. It wasn't just me. I was just part of that pipeline. But being part of that pipeline to help those kids, and, you know, as a parent, you're like, and those 12 sets of parents, they're like, you know, finally getting hope for their kids again. That is the most rewarding thing that happens to you as, you know, as you build these companies. Actually, that was one of the probably the most rewarding thing that has happened to me at this point.
Before we go down the rabbit hole of mathematics education at the K-12 level and Brian's opinion on it, we need to establish something first. What is artificial intelligence?
Yeah, that's the $100,000 question. Like, people are constantly trying to define AI and AI versus machine learning and AI versus machine learning data mining. There's no answer to that. But I will tell you what the practice is. And the practice is in the process of trying to understand how anything learns, how a human learns, how a student learns. I mean, you're a music teacher. You've watched people learn music and you've understood how they come to it. They make mistakes with their fingers. They do a feedback loop in their own brain. You can hear them make a mistake and respond. You can watch them make a mistake and respond. So if you're trying to teach a computer to learn something like play a cello, which they are very, very far from being able to do at this point, if you're trying to watch a machine do that, your process as an AI researcher or an AI product guy is to try to understand how it can be learned and how you can proceduralize that, because you can't talk to the computer and explain it to them the way you can to another human. On a day-to-day level, it's a lot of, writing computer code. It's a lot of reading papers. And a lot of it is informed if you have a good, solid mathematics background. If you don't have the mathematics background, it's a lot less interesting of a job because you're running around trying to copy stuff that other people have done. It's a little bit like the difference between if you have a mathematics background and you're trying to do AI, it's a little bit like the difference between being a composer and being a studio musician. Both are fun, right? And some people like one and some people like the other, but I consider myself a composer. I want to write it. I want to think about it. I want to have wild ideas on what you could do with it, as opposed to reading and playing and performing somebody else's stuff, which, again, totally satisfying. I've done that too. But you have to decide where you want your kind of agony. Is your agony because you have no ideas? Or is your agony because you can't quite hit that note, or you can't make that turn on that passage, or this fingering's too complicated, right? So.
Now that we've established what artificial intelligence is and how Brian uses it at Verdant AI, I wanted to ask him, what is his view on how mathematics is taught at the K-12 level, and how can we do it better?
The thing about mathematics education, and I have two children, I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old son. The thing about mathematics education is that it's an evolving discipline and they're getting better at it, but man, they're not good at it yet. And they're not good at it because of a lot of societal reasons on what has to be tested and how do you know somebody's good at math, and our sort of impression that math equates with intelligence, and all these sort of ideas running around in society. But when you're learning math, the key thing you're supposed to be learning, now looking back as a professional mathematician, the key thing you're supposed to be learning is problem solving, critical thinking, and analytical and procedural logic. And if you can do those things, you have learned the central lesson of mathematics. My son started learning linear algebra. So they talk about systems of linear equations. And systems of linear equations are when you have multiple equations and you have to solve for x and y and z, and you get three equations and three unknowns. So students in high school right now have seen this, probably some version of it. They have a bunch of lines. They have to figure out where the lines intersect and stuff like that. That's called linear algebra. And linear algebra is the mathematics underlying all of computer processing right now. And the big advances in what they call deep learning come from advances in the ability to do linear algebra on a computer. So all the computer vision, deep learning, neural network stuff is all linear algebra, which your ninth graders are learning the foundation of now. But of course, they're not going to tell you that. they don't really bother to contextualize it. So this is really the stuff that people are talking about with AI, is this linear algebra. So that is a key element where right now kids are learning what they need to know. If it was contextualized that way and they were able to see that connection, I'll bet they'd be a lot more excited about it.
So then the next step is, how can we include AI in a student's curriculum and how will they experience it?
They're all going to be consuming AI. from, you know, from 10 years ago forward, everybody is going to be consuming AI in some context, if they're interfacing with technology at all, right? Which we're presuming that all of your listeners are going to, you know, and all of your listeners' children. Yeah, yeah. To listen to this podcast, you are interacting with AI in some way. Some algorithm has decided that you want to listen to it or has optimized the delivery of it. You know, there's lots of different ways that they're interfacing with it. So I think in terms of like learning about methods, there's some very interesting things that you can learn about abstract human intelligence by understanding machine learning algorithms. And I think that those things are probably valuable in teaching. If I were to pick on how AI would be introduced as a discipline into curriculum, I would say I would use it as part of a critical thinking path. Like I would open up a unit on critical thinking and probably spend several weeks on this is how we examine how critical thinking actually works. Let's look at what it takes to teach a computer something. And so to teach a computer something, you need to give it all the available facts. If you don't give it all the available facts, then it can't make a decision about, you know, whatever decision you want it to make. It needs all the available facts. It needs to be able to defend how those facts go into its decision. And there's lots of great examples of the wrong data being fed in. For instance, you know, the facial recognition and racial bias. You know, just horrifying results of all black people being classified as criminals by police facial recognition AI. You know, that's horrifying. So we could present that in the curriculum as here's our critical thinking. If you train all of your computers to only look at white male faces, then everything that is not a white male face will be classified as other or criminal. And that's a really direct, very easy train to follow in terms of why we need to think critically about what we consider information, what we consider truth, and how we communicate our decision making. So I think that, to me, is the bigger worry than do they know what a support vector machine is or a neural net is. I think those are all really interesting, but probably not interesting to most students. But I would love to explain to them, like, this is how a support vector machine makes a mistake if you only give it white male faces.
So now with that in place, how can we serve and encourage students better moving forward?
In general, we want students to pursue things that are interesting. But sometimes you find students that just can't be inspired, or at least I'm not able to inspire them. And I think that anytime you find something where people have any kind of inspiration, it's challenging to sort of exploit that. You know, I would like to encourage anybody who's in the education field to really think about how they can find help from these larger nonprofits that want to help them get kids into science.
So reflecting back to what Chrissy Burr offered, I wanted to come back to her one more time and look at how can we use the math skills she teaches in her classroom as adults in our everyday lives.
Oh my gosh, yes. If somebody had taught me the skills that I am teaching, like how to make a 10. Oh my gosh, if I was taught how to make a 10, oh, just break down your 10s, and I'll make my friends, like, stop using your calculators. I'll show you how making 10s are faster than using your calculators, and every time I beat them. And then they start, oh yeah, if I make my 10s, like when we're playing games to score your points, like, yeah, it is quicker.
To explore all the resources Chrissy Burr uses in her classroom and to find out more about Brian Dolan's company, Verdant AI, you can go to our website at renegadesandmavericks.com and see their show page. Renegades and Mavericks is a production of Derio Collective, hosting and scripting by Kevin Oates, and project management by Claire Clausen. And if you're enjoying this evolution of series or any past episodes of Renegades and Mavericks, please give us a subscribe wherever you find your podcasts and also to follow us on Instagram at Renegades and Mavericks. And once again, it is time to thank a teacher.
I'll dedicate this to Dan Rothermel. He was my college professor. He was a wonderful teacher. It taught us how to be good teachers, how to incorporate any subject you wanted to into a lesson, especially how you can support literacy with any other subject level and how you can make that connection with kids. And he just was wonderful. And I am very fortunate enough to have had him at the end of his career. And I just learned a ton of ways that I can get kids interacting with literature and other subjects and making that personal connection with them. Those were the big life lessons that I took away from him.